Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially the last verse. He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Yeah, you know where that parable is headed, don't you? If someone should rise from the dead. But let's enjoy the journey getting there. This is something that I learned from reading Martin Luther, who said, on the one hand, people take blessings and turn them to curses, and others take curses and turn them to blessings. If we could learn to not take our blessings and turn them to curses, if we could learn to take our curses and turn them to blessings, how many ways would we benefit in life? And the parable of Lazarus and the rich man is a case study in just exactly that. You have, on the one hand, the rich man. He's been given every blessing in life. He's got riches. He's got wonderful clothes. He feasts sumptuously, fine dining, and, well, a beggar could be fed with what fell from his table. He's got an overabundance of riches. And what does he do with those riches? He uses them as an excuse not to pay attention to his spiritual needs, to forget about the fact that he has a soul and he is answerable to God. He uses his riches as an excuse to wander as far from God as he can in this life. And then he gets surprised when it's all over that he ends up in an afterlife without God. One more dig on that. He says, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to cool my tongue." Okay, now in the afterlife, again, he wants to be served. And now he knows Lazarus. He hasn't learned his lesson. He hasn't changed, has he? No amount of judgment is going to change him at that point. He has used every blessing as a means to wander away from God and to forget God and to walk out on his relationship with God. Are there any in our day who do the same? Yeah. And then on the other hand, you have Lazarus, the poor man at his gate, covered with sores. So bad, even the dogs come and lick his sores. And in the depth of his despair, well, that is a little bit of comfort, is it not? God sends the lowliest of the lowly to the lowly in order that together they may find some comfort in each other. But Lazarus, on the other hand, is the case study in taking curses and turning them to blessings. We know that he does this because when his life is over, the angels carry him to Abraham's side. He's in paradise. But how does he take those curses and turn them to blessings? And again, Martin Luther gives this insight. He says that for us, anything that comes along, whether it is blessings or trials, we should use them as a reminder and a call by God to remember that relationship. Lazarus then takes his suffering and his misfortune and the curses that have been a part of his life and uses them as a call to come to God, to come in prayer. And in that prayer is an ever-deepening relationship with God. So that at the end, carried to Abraham's side. Remember Abraham? Abraham, who was told, leave your father's house, go to a land where I will show you. Abraham, who lived in a tent for the rest of his life, didn't see the inheritance of the land, went through all kinds of things, had to walk by faith, simply trusting the words and promises of God, and that's a refrain that you're going to hear from now on in the sermon. Simply trusting the words and promises of God. And when he got to see something of the promise, a son, Isaac, born to him, God then says, go take your son, your only son whom you love. Go to the mountain I will show you, Mount Moriah. There sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And Abraham then goes and takes his son to Mount Moriah and sets him on the altar and gets ready. And it's only then that God says, no more, no further. And interpreting and filling that in, only one father gets to sacrifice his son on that mountain. That's not Abraham. That's God, who sends his son to that mountain that then goes by a different name. Same mountain, but then called Calvary. So the understanding is they're running all through everything of holding on to the words and promises of God. Abraham holding on to those words and promises, not seeing the fulfillment, but he's going to hold on to them. And what does the Bible say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Holding to the words and promises of God. Lazarus holding to the words and promises of God. And in the holding to those words and promises, there's the relationship. The relationship not only with the saints of God, but with God himself. And we get back to that in one more cycle. But you know, the lesson of Lazarus and the rich man reflects a much bigger lesson. For that, let me tell you about a couple I know. I knew and heard of. Have not yet met personally, but I have heard their story. Seems that when they met, they fell in love and got married that same day. It happens. It happens. And they were blessed. Amazingly blessed. They had the nicest place to live. They had the sweetest food. They had everything as far as the eye could see and beyond. They had just one rule that they were told that they had to follow. And that was, that tree over there, don't eat that fruit. Now you know who they were. Adam and Eve. The crown of creation with blessings unimaginable. They were created in perfection to rule the creation, the created world here, to enjoy each other and all of God's blessing. They could walk with God and talk with him face to face. What did they do? Took all of those blessings and decided, that's not enough. That one thing that we're not supposed to have, that's what we want. And so turned all of the blessings into curses. Then they would hear the word from God saying, dust you are and to dust shall you return. And cursed is the ground because of you. In sweat you will eat from it all the days of your life until you return to dust. And the curse was not just for them. The curse continued on. I know this personally. I went out into my backyard, found it out. Stepped out in my backyard, and there was a whole bunch of God's creatures that seemed to like me, swarmed around, wanted my blood. What are they called? Mosquitoes. Okay? The curse. Turned all the blessings into curses, under which we still suffer and endure. But then, like Lazarus, how do you take the curses and turn them into blessings? And for that, we look at one other person. Someone who had everything and threw it aside. Who had reputation and instead chose to live in such a way that he would be followed around by his enemies who called him names. Who had everything you could desire and then chose instead to be hungry and thirsty and to go around and have nowhere to lay his head. 40 days in the wilderness being tempted. And then, holding to the word of God, holding to the words and promises of God, getting ready, heading to a garden, there to pray, and he prays. Do you know what the answer was? The answer was no. 3 times. Father, let this cup pass from me. No. Father, let this cup pass from me. No. Father, all things are possible with you. Let this cup pass from me. No. Prayers refused. Heaven closed. Goes out to greet those who were coming to arrest him. Stands trial and is mocked and spit on. Goes to trial again and is whipped and scourged and mocked and spit on. And carries his cross out to Calvary. Is nailed through his hands and feet and is laughed at and ridiculed and spit on. And the final indignity is that his father turned away, abandoned, forsook, rejected him, so that he could be there in those hours of darkness as the sin of the whole world, receiving the curse poured out on the whole world. And cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in taking that curse, what has he done with it? He's taken every curse and turned it to blessing for us. By his cross, we are forgiven. By his tomb, we have the promise that our graves will be open. By his resurrection, we have eternal life. And you see it in his words from the cross before he says, why have you forsaken me? What does he say at the beginning? He says, my God, my God. Words of faith. Holding on to the words and promises of God. And holding on to those words and promises, he sees even through the curse and even through the suffering, he sees the joy that is to come. how he turned curses into blessing? Simply by holding to the words and promises of God, and that's called faith. The letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then chapter 11 of the letter to the Hebrews goes through the long list. Abraham's in that list. And it comes at the end of the chapter into chapter 12 where it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one that invented the whole idea of faith. Invented the whole idea of holding to the words and promises of God, no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what you experience, those words and promises of God, are they true? Are they solid? Will they endure on through eternity? And so holding to those words and promises of God, holding on, never letting go. Those words and promises of God, they have eternal life in them. They have eternity in them. And if you have eternal life in the words and promises of God and eternity in the words and promises of God, if you have that running through your soul, if you have that planted deep within you, well, the words and promises of God will be eternal. They will not stop. They will be eternal. And so the soul that has the words and promises of God holds to them in Jesus Christ, that soul must endure for all eternity. That soul, in spite of anything else that happens, will have those words and promises of God holding it through blessing and trial, day after day, from this life into eternity. God will have His words and promises fulfilled. And the whole lesson takes us to Jesus Christ, to the way that He turned those curses into blessings. The way that He did that was holding to the words and promises of God in spite of anything and everything. And so Jesus is the one who has invented and shares with us this whole idea of faith, that the Word of God is true and the Word of God can be trusted forever and through anything. Jesus holds to these words and promises of God because that's the life of God. That is what goes on from all eternity through all eternity. And He shares that with us so we may know eternity. It's an amazing thing. Jesus invites us to join with Him walking in the words and promises of God. Well, the journey may not be easy, but the words and promises of God, they are forever, and they can be trusted. In Jesus' name, amen.